Blog Talk Radio.
Coaching Impact Radio, informative conversation by coaches for coaches with Frankie Dorn and Terry Hayes. It's all fun and games till someone pokes an eye out. Have you ever heard that phrase? Well, many people start a coaching career not realizing that it isn't just coaching. There's a whole business aspect that, if you're not careful, will poke your proverbial eye out and bring your practice to a halt. Today, we'll look at some good business practices to keep in mind. Hello there.
And hello. We are talking today about something near and dear to the hearts of all coach entrepreneurs.
And what is that?
Business.
Wow.
Money.
Okay, very good. Well, yeah, money. Money money comes after business.
Yeah.
It actually doesn't come before business.
Yeah, very rarely.
There you go. Yeah.
Very rarely. I mean, there's that initial investment, but let's not, you know, quibble. Let's not quibble over that. So you are listening to this radio program because probably you are a coach. And as a coach, you are striving to be the best coach that you can be. And sometimes that runs headlong into striving to be a good entrepreneur, because so many coaches are solopreneurs. And being a solopreneur has a very unique set of challenges and rewards, but it is definitely one of the things that attracts a lot of people to coaching who are coaches, is that not only do they get to fulfill their life's purpose, which they very clearly identify being in a service and support industry as doing, is being, you know, fulfilling their life purpose, but it has the appeal of also working for yourself. I mean, most coaches are pretty creative and pretty independent thinkers, so working for ourselves makes sense. But there are so many webinars, seminars, books, telesummits, programs. I mean, my gosh, you could probably spend $50,000 and a half a lifetime trying to get, quote-unquote, all the information that is published on being a solopreneur, let alone being a solopreneur coach. Being a solopreneur coach has enough material to keep you busy for half a lifetime. If you broaden that to just kind of the generic terminology of I'm just a solopreneur, good Lord, I think it takes up half, you know, half a section down at ye old bookshop. So what we're going to do today, what I'm going to do today, is I'm going to give you kind of the low down and dirty checklist of things that you want to check in on, probably have in place and working very well, in order to make sure that you are operating a solopreneur entity that is going to grow, be sustainable, and not kill you in the process, because that's another key component, right? So there's an understanding here that you're on this call, you've chosen to become a coach in large part because it does come with this perk of being a solopreneur. So let's nail it. Let's get it good. So the first thing on the checklist is your belief system about being a business owner. So what is it that you think about being a business owner? That can drive a lot of your experience and the rest of the, not only these checklist points, but certainly your day-to-day operations. So whatever your belief is about being a business owner, it's best to have, obviously, something that's really supportive, a belief that you can, in fact, create a successful business, a successful coaching business. If you do not believe that you can create a successful coaching business, if you doubt that, no amount of studying books, none of that is going to create that belief for you. That's something that really requires some experience and some heartfelt coaching to get behind what's in the belief of doubt around that, if you've got some doubt around that. And if that doubt is too deep or too profound, it's going to get in the way of everything. So as rudimentary as it sounds, we've got to start with, what do you actually believe about being a business owner? You believe it's hard? Do you believe it's complicated? Do you believe it's great for other people but not for you? Do you believe, what do you believe about it? So seriously check your beliefs and make sure that your belief supports the adventure that you're going into. But also check two more things, two additional items on the checklist. Are you clear about how being a professional coach aligns with your life purpose and your values? And are you clear on how being a successful business owner aligns with your life purpose and your values? So if there's a conflict with either one of those, and notice I separated being a coach away from being an entrepreneur. Truth is they're two totally different skill sets. There's an entrepreneurial skill set and there's a coaching skill set. And actually, I'm going to give you just a quick second here. I'm going to pull up my little soapbox and give you a perspective to hold on to, I hope. So as a coach entrepreneur, you actually are running wearing three different hats. So the first hat or the first body of work or area of kind of activity that you have is your trade skills. So your trade skills are your core competencies, your masteries, your proficiencies, your techniques, your methods. It's what you do with a client in a session and to support their growth and development in between sessions. So that's your trade skills. And certainly a prudent investment in those trade skills is in order. I'm not going to debate the should you be certified, or not certified question. I know many fine coaches who are making the living that they're comfortable with who are certified and those who are not. So it can be done. There are certain areas, of course, I absolutely say go get certified no matter what. And I would like to say if you're planning on making this a full professional career change, then absolutely put certification on your agenda. But our industry is designed to really the certification, the accreditation, at least from the ICF, the International Coach Federation, is really about acknowledging what you've already accomplished. It's not a certification that's designed to say, okay, you can go coach now. It's quite the opposite. You have to have already been trained and graduated and practicing for a period of time with clients that are paid in order for you to get your accreditation from the ICF. So it really is positioned to acknowledge how far you've come. Other different certification boards and entities are slightly different, but absolutely get out there and kind of remember you've got this important skill set, this trade skill set that is a huge piece of your business. How well do you coach, right? That's the first one. The second hat you're wearing or the second area of your kind of enterprise here is your administrative skills. And this is the routine work that can be outsourced potentially because it is exactly that. It is administrative. It is your marketing. It is your social media. It is your onboard process for your clients, your offboard process, your accounting process. And we'll talk more about some of those actually on the checklist. But it's your administrative skill set. So it's the work that goes into running the business. And then the final hat is your entrepreneurial vision hat. And that's the vision, the leadership hat, the area where you work from that is pure inspiration about what you want for your business. So as the coach, you're coaching in the session and between sessions to support the client. As the administrator, you're looking at systems and processes and being efficient and making sure that everything gets done that needs to get done. But as the entrepreneurial visionary, you're deciding where's this business going? And not always do visionary decisions get made with your administrative head. The reason I share that is because so often when we're stuck in our administrative hat, all we can see is, I don't have another hour a day in order for us to grow in that direction, blah, 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 blah. But if the visionary comes in and says, no, hold on, this is where we really want to go. It's where I want to go. then it's the opportunity and the responsibility of the administrative hat to be say, how do we make that happen? But if we don't remember that we're working with these three different hats, we can get ourselves really tangled up. So that's why I separated being clear on how being a professional coach aligns with your life purpose and values, and then being clear on how being a successful business owner aligns with your life purpose and values. And if it doesn't, what are you doing? And I don't mean that sarcastically. I mean, have you put yourself into a corner? Have you sort of painted yourself in? It's worth checking out with a coach if those things don't really align. So first, your belief system. Second, the alignment of your professional coach being with your in alignment with your purpose and values, and also being a successful business owner with your purpose and values. But then we move into some of the nitty-gritty. Now we're moving into some things that kind of cross over into the administrative area, because the truth is a lot of what business is can be made or broken in the administrative piece. So do you have an effective system for handling all your email and communication? Now, listen to that really carefully. Do you have an effective system? Not an email address. Do you have an effective system for handling email and communication? Now, this, let's be honest, this is something most of us struggle with, and it's rudimentary. I struggle with it, and it's a rudimentary, fundamental piece of business. How do we handle our communication? Communication with vendors, communication with subcontractors, with our virtual assistant, with our clients, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Prospects. Look at how it works for you or doesn't work for you. Taking the time to make a shift now, early, immediately, upon detection that your current system may not be working effectively, may seem like a big hassle. You might have to take 2 or 3 whole days to get it accomplished, to really develop a system, to clear out your old inboxes, to do all of those things that, you know, we're all dreading to do. Are you one of those people that opens up, and believe me, I'm saying this because I've been there. Are you one of those people that opens your inbox and it says 137 messages or 1,337 messages? And you're like, ah, yeah. You need an effective communication system. The next piece is, do you have a workspace environment that supports you in being successful? So, you know, you never know how important this is until you're without it. And right now I'm going to confess that I am, to some extent, without my normal environment. And let me tell you what the difference is. If you don't have a chair that suits you, a footrest that gets your back into the proper alignment position, a computer monitor that's at the appropriate height, a computer keyboard that's the appropriate height, you wind up with back strain, neck strain, eye strain, arm strain, and I have actually had to wear braces on my arm and my wrist for damage that I have done from too many hours on the computer in the wrong position. Now that's just one aspect of your workspace environment and it being successful. Do you have the proper lighting? Do you have a fan? Do you have the proper temperature control? Is the acoustics in the space that you're in appropriate for business? And I don't mean appropriate for anybody. I mean appropriate for you. So if you're one of those people that doesn't mind some noise knocking around, great. If you're somebody who needs really a very quiet environment, then I encourage you to do what you need to do to get that quiet space. But look at it carefully. Is everything in there designed to help you be successful? If it's not, some minor tweaks could make all the difference in the world. And I'm not suggesting you go spend $3,000 and remodel your office or sign up a lease and start paying a $1,500 a month to go get an office. I'm saying do what you can that's going to make the greatest impact with the resources, the time, and the knowledge that you have. And if you're not sure where to start, there are all sorts of things online that you can get a hold of that will help you design. Literally, you could Google just this, design the perfect workspace or ergonomic desk or any number of things. My son-in-law actually changed recently, well, not real recently, but changed from a sitting desk to a standing desk. And A, not only immediately lost over, I think, 15 pounds, but now he's hooked. He can't go back to a sitting desk. He's pretty much like, I've got to have a standing desk. I've got to keep moving. So is that right for you? I know a couple of coaching colleagues that have actually gone to treadmill desks. Is that right for you? Don't know. Could it be that you just need one of those little pedal push things underneath your desk to keep your legs active? Would that make all the difference in the world to keep your strength up while you're doing so many back-to-back-to-back-to-back calls, right? Which is ideally, for those of you who are meeting clients by phone, that's, you know, you want to stay pretty busy, which means you're going to be on the phone a lot. And that brings me to the phone. If you do not have a headset at this point, I am begging you to go get one. You can get one for as little as $10 or $15 and start with that. You don't have to go spend the big, big bucks on the ones that are all Bluetooth and going to work for, you know, 500 feet in every direction. You don't need that. Start with something that isn't going to help you at least not get that crick in your neck from holding the phone so often. So please do that. The other environment, by the way, is the environment of your expenditures. So I would also say get yourself an outstanding unlimited long distance calling plan for all of the client calls that you're going to make so that you're not worried about it. Right? There you go. So I've got a couple more, and then we're going to take a quick break. So do you follow up on all leads promptly? Do you have a system that allows you to follow up on leads promptly? That's kind of a no-brainer, but you would be surprised how many people don't have a system. What is my system? How do I do this? Do I follow up on leads within 24 hours? How do I get leads into my calendar to say, hey, your 24-hour clock has started to run. You need to follow up with this person. So very, very important piece. The next one is I have a trusted and diverse network of colleagues who in turn trust me. One of the most important hallmarks of a real professional coach is having a contact list with at least 10 to 15, maybe as many as 20 other coaches in your list that are doing. Some may overlap some of your work. You want to find a few specialists or more senior coaches who overlap some of your work to maybe potentially refer to them for some of the more complex cases that you work with or clients you work with, or to actually be able to brainstorm with them if you develop a relationship. But you also want to make sure that you have trusted coaches that handle all other types of areas, things that you don't coach, so that you have those referrals. And then to add to that, you're also going to want to have the standard sort of auxiliary support that is specific to your niche. So you might want to have some clergymen. You might want to have a therapist or two. You might want to have a lawyer, graphics people, web people if you're working with business owners, et cetera, et cetera. So do you have a trusted and diverse network of colleagues who trust you in return? If not, build one. Start reaching out. Start making connections. And with that, speaking of reaching out, we're going to reach out to you for just a second. We'll be right back.
Coaching Impact Radio is brought to you by Impact Coaching Academy, offering life coach training and certification in over 20 specialty categories: life, business, couples, health and wellness, and more. Courses can be completed as self-paced study, live teleclasses, or in-person intensives. Just like our radio program, Impact Coaching Academy is by coaches for coaches. Sign up now for your free membership and receive over 30 hours of training and programming worth thousands of dollars, yours to listen to and enjoy, absolutely free. Then set your own path for growth with courses that are starting soon. Check the calendar to see the current offerings. Impact Coaching Academy. Be a part of the impact at impactcoachingacademy.com.
All righty. So moving down the rest of our checklist here and kind of keeping an eye on the time, we're going to hustle through some of these. So do you have SMART goals relating to your business for the next 3 to 12 months? SMART goals. SMART is an acronym. I don't mean intelligent goals. I mean specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and timed. Do you operate with those in place to support your business? If you don't have them, learning what SMART goals is going to be an important piece, not only for you, but for what you bring to your clients, because every designed action, and that is a core competency, every designed action that you bring into the client relationship, you're going to want to make sure that it is something that fits into that SMART goal framework: specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and timed. Here's another checklist. Do you regularly invite people to participate in your business? Are you on a regular basis inviting people? Do you have a system for that? A system for extending invitations to people personally? And I don't just mean, I've got a flyer up at the coffee shop and I've got my website. I mean personally. Do you personally engage with people and invite them into your business somehow? And by the way, I don't want you to feel the pressure that means invite them all to be one-on-one clients. As an example, obviously I have a podcast. When I meet people, there's any number of things that come to mind for me. Sometimes I think, oh my gosh, you would love my radio show. Come and dial in. Or I would love to interview you on my podcast radio show. I think you'd make a great interview. I've got a free call that I do once a month. I've got a newsletter. I've got it. All of those things are part of my business. So when I say inviting people into your business, I don't mean you're walking up to strangers and doing cold calls where you go, so would you like to coach with me? You know, it's $500 a month and here's the... I mean, there's many different ways that you can appropriately invite people to engage with you in your business. But if you're not inviting people, there's going to be a major, major kind of traffic jam around your money for sure. The next piece on the checklist here is that you have a client management system that works for you. So once you have people in your business, you've onboarded them, now they're your client. Do you have a client management system that helps you track payments, assignments, goals, dreams, visions, kind of key priorities that keep coming up? Are you using something that supports you being prepared for your sessions so that when you go into it, you're clear, you're focused, you're up to speed with your client, and you're able to actually manage the client relationship? If not, it's time to get something. We've interviewed some fine programs. There's the folks over at Coach's Console. There's Lachlan Carter over at Satori. We've definitely on this show done our homework around some of the client management systems for coaches that are specifically for coaches. Smartsheet's another great one if you really want to kind of bootleg and build your own from scratch, kind of hobble it all together. It's a great system, good old Smartsheet. But you have to have something. Something that really helps you manage those client files. And I'll say files because if you just want to go pen and paper and files, that's fine too. Totally fine. Just have something that actually works for you. Now this actually takes on to not only inviting people into your business, this is another checklist item, is are you really clear and have you currently defined all of your offerings? Do you know what you offer? And I say that with a little grain of salt here, because here's the thing. If somebody called me, as an example, from a business tomorrow and they said, we have 15 people, we want to get them all coaching, we're not 100% positive if we can afford one-on-one, do you have any groups available? If I'm interested in coaching this group, my answer is going to be yes, even if I don't quote-unquote have a group available, because what I would do is step in and create a group to satisfy that demand. So when I say, you know, have your current offerings laid out and be very clear about them and be very at peace with what they are, be really happy with them, That doesn't mean try and figure out every scenario. There could be a huge portion of what you need to do to get clear there is to just be open to creating to respond to demand. So I coach evenings, I coach weekends, I coach weekdays. There's all sorts of different times I coach. I coach one-on-one. I coach for a minimum of 3 months, but I have some clients that really want to coach just a session or two. So I have a special offering for that. It's not a normal coaching relationship. It's a hybrid. It's a coaching consulting fee, and it's a different type of session. So imagine how much more in power and in confidence you are if you're clear what it is your offerings are and that you're genuinely happy with them. The next checklist item is that you prepare consciously for your work-related tasks and activities. Now, what gets in the way of this is often fear. What gets in the way of us preparing consciously for our day, preparing consciously for our activities, our engagements, our connections, is because we're afraid of something. We're in overwhelm sometimes, and so we just show up. And then we get really frustrated when we don't get good results. And then we show up again someplace else and we get more frustrated. We're like, oh, I've shown up twice now and I'm still not getting good results. Right. It's because you're actually not preparing for how you want to show up. So prepare very consciously for your work and work-related tasks and activities. The next checklist item is metrics. Metrics, people, metrics, metrics, metrics. I track and evaluate my business development and my results accurately and objectively. Do you? Do you pay attention to how long your client retention is? How many exploratory sessions that you give for every conversion? How many people that you talk to sign up for your newsletter? How many subscribers do you have at right now on your newsletter? And is that growing or is that decreasing? What's the trend? What's your web hits if you have a website, which, by the way, you don't have to get started. I recommend you get one eventually, but you don't have to get started. So pay attention to fairly and objectively from a judgment-free space, evaluating and tracking your business development. Those metrics are so, so important to not only your success, but your overall sense of well-being with your business. Now, what about you personally? Are you able to stay focused while working or at the very least catch yourself quickly when you're not? Are you highly distracted? Is there something else competing for your time and energy? Can you stay focused? Can you also, this is another item, defend and set aside the hours that you need for work that you know exactly what it's going to take to reach your goal. The truth is that if you're working 60 hours a week in your business right now, you better be trying to get a multi-million dollar business under your belt because otherwise you're way disproportionately off the mark. You'd be surprised how much you can accomplish in 4 dedicated hours a day. But those have to be dedicated focused hours, defended, dedicated, and focused. So how are you doing with that? How are you actually doing with that? This kind of loops back around to metrics, but it does take on a slightly different spin, and that is, do you have a clear financial picture of where you are, where your business is, the cost of doing business, your budget, your goals, how rapidly you're going to deplete your savings if you're not earning, how much you have to earn in order to be sustainable. Do you have an accurate, judgment-free, objective picture of your finances? If you don't, you're in for a world of trouble, I promise you. So sit down, get that in order, sort of kind of clean that house up, so to speak. If you have to, hire a bookkeeper, go sit, pay for a single consultation with a bookkeeper, single consultation with a CPA, personal organizer, have somebody come in, outsource it to a virtual assistant, outsource it to a virtual bookkeeper. Do what you have to do to have your finances in order and be able to easily gain clarity and get the information that you need in order to make solid decisions. The final piece on this checklist before I kind of move to the little codicil is, are you in fact nurturing and challenging yourself to grow as a business owner? Are you actually nurturing and challenging yourself to grow as a business owner? You're probably doing it as a coach. You're nurturing and challenging yourself to grow with your skill as coaching, but are you nurturing and challenging your skills to grow as a business owner? That's a different thing. That means that you will, in fact, have to learn some parts of business that may not be sexy. They may not be fun. And oftentimes, here's the good news, is you don't have to become masterful at them, right? You don't have to become masterful at them. I mean, does the restaurant owner have to be masterful at doing the dishes? No, not at all. Because they just have to be good enough to do it while it's necessary that they do it, and then they outsource it, right? Same thing about being a hostess or being a server. You think the restaurant owners, I mean, think about every restaurant you've ever been to. Do you think the restaurant owner is the most masterful server on the team? It would kind of be inappropriate if they were, because that means that they aren't training properly. So treat your business the same way. Are you challenging yourself to grow and to also learn just enough to get yourself to the next level so then you can go ahead and outsource that which you do not love to do, that which you are not, it is not appropriate for you to become the masterful one at. And I know that seems strange for solopreneurs. You're like, well, who else is there going to be? Solopreneur doesn't mean work alone forever. That's actually not part of the definition, that you must work alone for forever. A solo entrepreneur can have all sorts of subcontractors or virtual assistants. You're still a solopreneur. And then here's the little codicil that I want to leave you with. Is in doing all these things, are you still able to leave time for your self-care and your other priorities in life? Because like I said earlier, if you're working 60 some odd hours a week and you're just burning your body up and blowing up bridges with all your relationships and you know, your woulda, coulda, shoulda list for all the things around the house is starting to fall down and so is the roof, we have a problem. So, effective communication system, workspace environment that supports you. You have a lead system that works for you. You have a trusted and diverse network of colleagues. You have a belief system that actually believes that you can, in fact, create a successful coaching business, and you're clear that being a professional coach aligns with your life purpose and values, as does being a successful business owner aligning with your life purpose and values. You have SMART goals. You're regularly inviting people to participate in your business. You have client management systems that work. You have defined current offerings that you're very happy about. You're nurturing and challenging yourself to grow as a business owner. You prepare consciously for your work and work-related activities. You track and evaluate your business development results accurately and objectively. And you're able to stay focused while working and set aside and defend that time. Plus, a clear financial picture. If you had all those things right now, or took the time to make those things, acquiring those things, getting those things in place, a priority, your business would be amazing. And don't you deserve that? I think you do. I think we all do. I think there's more than enough money, more than enough business, and more than enough time to go around that each of us has the successful coaching practice we desire to have. So this might be a little checklist to help you go get it. And with that, we're going to wrap for today. I hope that this has been beneficial. I'd love to hear what you would add to this checklist. Or if you have any questions about how to get any of these things, let us know. And now we're going to hand things back to Vin.
Okie dokie. Thank you for joining us today. There's more exciting conversation by coaches for coaches 1 week from today with Frankie Dorn and Terry Hayes. Coaching Impact Radio is brought to you by Impact Coaching Academy. Experience ICA with over 30 hours of complimentary materials, then chart your own specific training plan at ImpactCoachingAcademy.com. And of course, join us and access the growing archive of programs here at CoachingImpactRadio.com. Join us next week, same time and place, as we continue the coaching conversation. I'm Vince Hayes. Bye-bye, everyone.